Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Welcome to Tigers in 20, a Go Tigers 247 audio podcast, your one-stop shop for all things University of Memphis Tigers athletics. Here are your hosts, founder of Go Tigers 247, Brooks Hansen, and lead writer for Go Tigers 247, Christian Fowler.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to this episode. I'm your host, Christian Fowler, and joining me, as always, is Go Tigers 247 founder Brooks Hansen and Go Tigers 247 digital content creator Kenny Stubblefield. And guys, we are recording on Monday night, so we are less than a week away from the season opener. Never thought it would get here. We're finally here. It's game week. How excited are you guys for Memphis football to return this Saturday?
It's a miracle.
Football, 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 football.
I mean, I'm just disappointed that
I'm excited.
Looking at the 15-day forecast that the 75-degree weather day isn't this Saturday. God, that would be – can you imagine if it were 7 p.m. kickoff with like 68 degrees on a Saturday night? God dang.
Oh, Kenny would be so excited. But even though it's not that cold yet, that cool yet, it beats the hell out of August 31st last year against Ole Miss. You can ask Kenny. That was a miserable, like, mid-90s day.
The worst, though, the worst was when we went to Mobile for the What was that
game? The second game of the year.
South Alabama game. Was one of the hottest. I mean, it felt like hell's ass on the field.
And they had those steel bleachers. Y'all got this. Christian was up in the press box. Kenny was down on the field with a black shirt and pants on. Worst decision ever.
You know exactly what Kenny.
I was a dummy that day.
Kenny wears a black shirt. He probably had black shirt and black pants on and a black hat. Yeah, it was that was terrible. So I'm glad we're getting a little cooler weather to start the season, but just overall excited that this is here. And ready to go, ready to cover football again. It's exciting because we talked about it so many times and just thought that, will this day ever get here? Will we have football in 2020? And here we are in September, and it's happening.
Well, I was extremely excited to see this Memphis offense before Kenny Gainwell decided to opt out, and I'm still really excited about it. But I think I'm like coming around to your sentiment about wanting to see what this defense has to offer. You wrote an article today talking about the Tigers' depth chart. I know one guy you love is Jahlil Clemens. But then, you know, at defensive end, like the biggest shocker you wrote about was John Cartwright. I mean, where is this man coming from? 6'2", massive.
So he's, I mean, as far as the 3-4 defensive end goes, he is a little bit smaller, and it's something that we kept under wraps a little bit because they weren't sure if he was going to qualify and play in 2020 or blue shirt and play next season or what it was going to be. So it's something that we kept a little quiet, but he had his freshman year at East Central Community College, came in, and obviously impressed the staff to beat out a guy like Morris Joseph, who played a pretty big role last year, and to be listed as the week one starter on the depth chart. That was, yeah, like you said, that was the biggest surprise. That one kind of blew me away. But Coach Silverfield really said in the press conference that John came in late, but he came to work every day. He was ready to go. Learned a lot from Coach Pope. He said that Coach Pope absolutely loves John Cartwright, which is a big reason why he is a starter. So, yeah, there's always going to be some surprises on the week one depth chart. I can think back to last year and the previous year and looking down and saying, okay, they obviously see something that we didn't see or didn't know that was going to happen, especially in a year like this where we haven't been able to watch practices. So that was the biggest one. But Brooks, I think you hit the nail on the head. I am so excited to watch this defense. The hype is always going to be around an offense regardless, especially when it's a top 10 group in the country. But I think this defense has an opportunity to be a top 2, maybe top 3 defense in the conference this year. I know Cincinnati is probably the early favorite to have the best defense, but the group that Memphis is bringing back this year is full of veterans, full of leadership. They have a guy, Mike McIntyre, who is a very, very well-respected coach around college football. Charles Clark has put a handful of defensive backs in the NFL. Burt Watts is a former defensive coordinator at Fresno State. Kyle Pope has learned under some very good coaches at Alabama and FAU. So there's a lot going on there. That defensive staff has a lot going for it. So very excited to see what they can put on the field this year. And then when you look at T.J. Carter, J.J. Russell, O'Brien Goodson, Jahlil Clemens, who I'll go ahead and bookmark it and say he's going to be an all-conference player this year. We can clip that when it actually happens, but we'll obviously have to wait a few months for that one. But I'm just excited all around. I think there's a lot of pieces on this defense. I think they're deeper than they've been in years past, and I think this is the best defensive staff Memphis has had in quite some time.
Christian, there's a name missing in the and on the defense that I wanted to ask you about, and that's Leandre Thomas. What happened? Where's he at on the depth chart?
I mean, honestly, when you look at what Leandre did last year, I think the way that he was beat on deep balls really kind of turned the staff off on him is kind of what I've heard from some people around the program and since practice has started up again, that he just fell behind. And I kind of saw this coming from the end of last year because Sanchez Blake, we know what he brings to the game as far as a hitter, just scares receivers from coming over the middle. And then when you look at Quindell Johnson, I think he's their best cover safety. I think he covers the most ground. I thought he should have got a little bit more run last year, and he did towards the end of the season. But I thought there were times last year when he was the best safety on the field. So you see Tyrez Lindsey as the reserve safety behind both of them on the depth chart. I still think Leandre has the potential to roll in some. Still got guys like Carlito Gonzalez, freshman in Andarius Coffey that I think will play this year. So there's a lot of safety depth. They only listed two deep on it and listed Tyrez as the backup for both. But honestly, the defensive staff has about six players that they could roll in and out at safety, and I think they all could do fairly well this year.
Well, moving on from defense, obviously the story of the week that you broke is all centered on Kenny Gainwell. And another aspect of this story that no one's really talking about, we had some pretty persistent VIP members that repeatedly asked, what about Corey Gainwell? Given that Kenny is opting out for family, what about Corey? I mean, he's got the same family. If it's about the family, they have the same family. Why would Kenny opt out and Corey not opt out? And so you posted an update late last night that, you know, according to a source, Corey Gainwell fully intends to and is expected to play this season. He will be a part of the team. He is not opting out. So one thing that I did want to point out, and this is just a personal soapbox item, Kenny Gainwell has a mountain of opportunity in front of him. He set himself up because of a tremendous freshman season. He has, you know, like the sky is the limit for this man in terms of the NFL draft. He has everything to lose by playing and really not a lot to gain. You know, like you lose, you know, you put yourself in harm's way, possibly get injured. You're going to have stacked boxes coming after you. You're going to have guys looking out for you. You also have to worry about COVID. You have to worry about a myriad of things. Corey Gainwell doesn't have any of that goodwill built up with NFL teams. And I can guarantee you, Corey has the same aspirations as his brother. He thinks he's as good as he can be as good as Kenny eventually. And Corey can't choose to opt out and have the same future as Kenny. He just can't. He doesn't have that leisure. He doesn't have that safety net. So, you know, let the young man make a decision and let Corey make his own decision. I mean, I posted this earlier. I've got a brother who's exactly to the day 11 months older than me. And I can't tell you how many times I've made a decision that's completely counterintuitive than the way my brother would have made a decision. Sometimes on purpose, just to spite him. But, you know, brothers, family is allowed to go in different directions. And that doesn't mean that you know, me choosing one thing and my brother choosing another means that I'm being selfish and, you know, not looking out for my family, and my brother is. So I think that's the last thing I really want to say on Kenny Gainwell. Wish him the best. Hope he does well. Hope he sticks somewhere in that 2 to 5 round range, and that he can just work out, kill it in front of NBA scouts and executives, and maybe somehow make it into that, you know, top two, you know, that second round. I mean, I don't know if that's possible. Do you think that's even possible?
I think it's a stretch at this point.
It's tough.
I mean, if he would have played this season, I think he definitely could have fallen in the second round. But with sitting out, I don't think it's a possibility. Let me correct myself real quick, because I made a mistake just like Brooks did. Brooks said NBA execs, NFL execs. I said Kyle Pope was at FAU. I totally meant Liberty there. I always get that confused because of Lane Kiffin and Hugh Freeze. They kind of seem like interchangeable personalities.
I would say, Christian, that Kenny is going to have a really hard time getting into that second round to fifth round range in the NBA draft next year. It's going to be really tough. I mean, probably very athletic, but that's going to be hard for him.
No way he's a lottery pick.
Yeah, I don't see him being a lottery pick next year. But yeah,
what a coup for the Memphis staff if Kenny Gainwell is picked in the second round of the NBA draft, though. Like, that would be a feather in the cap for the Tiger football
staff.
Penny
Hardaway at it again.
Yeah, 5'10" point guard. But yeah, Brooks, just to recap on that real quick. I agree. I mean, we've touched a lot on Kenny since the situation has went down. I totally agree with what you said about Corey. And the last thing I kind of want to touch on there is we don't know what his plan is. I mean, he could stay in Memphis throughout the offseason if that's what his plan is, if he wants to stay away from his family. So we don't live in these kids' lives. We don't know what their plans are. It's not our place to say he should have done this, he should have done that. They are making the best decision for themselves that they feel at the time, and that's all they can do, and all we can do, you know, as people that cover the team, and then the fans as fans, is support those players, because we're not changing their opinions. We're not going to change those guys' opinions and make him come back and play at Memphis. So there's really no point in harping on something like that.
Kenny Gainwell owes you nothing. And with that, let's take a quick break, hear from our sponsors. We'll come back on the other side to talk some college hoops. I've got a nugget about some name, image, likeness stuff that I want to drop in here. And then maybe we'll talk a little. I think we're just going to shoot the shit. So join us on the other side.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, welcome back, everyone. And like I teased before, Christian and Kenny know nothing about this, so I am dropping this little nugget. And this is a pretty big nugget. So I'm going to try my best to explain this in a way that makes sense. And then since Christian and Kenny don't know what I'm about to say, I'm going to let them ask questions to clarify just in case. So that way we can all be as clear as possible. So according to a source I spoke to today, which is someone who's very tied in, is actually connected in the agent world and is trying to help some coaches, some very, very, very high major blue blood level coaches, figure out the NCAA's name, image, likeness, the implementation of this new legislation. So the plan is for the NCAA to implement name, image, likeness legislation and vote on it in January of 2021. One thing that has not been talked about with name, image, likeness is that the NCAA is almost creating a new rule similar to an individual associated with the prospect, but they're doing it now with businesses, corporations, and boosters. So they are now deeming businesses, corporations, boosters that have a sponsorship available as companies or entities associated with a program. So for example, if Bob's Tractor Company decides, hey, we love Indiana basketball and we want to donate some money to Indiana basketball in 2020. Bob's Tractor Company donates $100,000 to Indiana University for the basketball program. Well, after the name, image, likeness legislation is passed, if it's still within that 2-year window from 2020, Bob's Tractor Company cannot partake or cannot be involved with a name, image, likeness payment to a student athlete for the IU basketball program or football program. They are now deemed as an entity associated with a university, and they cannot directly pay a student athlete for a commercial, for a billboard, for whatever. So it complicates things. I think it's like, I feel like the NCAA, what they're doing with this legislation is like trying to encourage people to find gray area and have to do it with like shell companies and create new like back doors into getting these kids paid. It's like you're doing this to clean it up, but with that legislation, with that rule, you're going to make it dirty. Any questions? I'm so confused by the legislation.
Yeah. What? You put it perfectly in that these legislations that the NCAA is talking about trying to put in place, the name, image, likeness legislation, is there to clean things up. But yet it does sound much more convoluted. Like what is the, from your sources, what's the reasoning behind that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the NCAA is trying to avoid conflict between, essentially a booster entity, an organization, a business, whatever, massive corporation, essentially funneling money to athletes as payment for play, like a pay for play type of scenario where they're acting on behalf of the university. Essentially, for example, back in the day, there's a point guard, Abdul Gaddy. He was a part of the John Wall, Eric Bledsoe class. And there was an article that came out about Abdul Gaddy's mother, who worked for FedEx, and she was given a promotion, which meant more compensation, buy a University of Memphis booster, a rather large one. So Memphis actually had to stop recruiting Abdul Gaddy because of that promotion. It's the same type of concept. It's a way to avoid a direct relationship between a company and the university and funneling money to, you know, the number three overall rated prospect in 2022 as a way to get that kid committed to the University of Memphis or Kentucky or Florida or wherever.
So here's my question, because it's trying to limit these big corporations from going in and just pulling recruits straight out of high school to a school. But do you think they're also doing this to limit how much current players can make? Because you would think the people that would invest the most in these players would be the corporations that already invest in the team. So is this kind of the NCAA's way of limiting how much a particular player on a roster can be paid?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably both. I mean, the reality is if Bob's Tractor Company is the type of company that wants to invest in a prospect by, you know, paying them for marketing, for TV ads, for billboards, whatever, they're the same type of business that's going to be sponsoring IU basketball. I mean, it goes hand in hand. That's the same. You're going for the same audience with that sponsorship either way. So I think I think it's like you have to choose one or the other. And typically businesses are going to choose the school because it's a tax write-off. They feel more loyal to a school because it's been there. It's not like a one and done kind of thing. You know, but the other thing to me that it does is it opens up so much, you know, grimy backdoor behind the scenes, you know, like basement dwelling type of scenarios where you have a company who says, you know what, we're going to set up a shell corporation and we're going to do all of our advertising through that, or all of our donations to the University of Louisville through that. And we're going to continue paying players through the primary company, you know, and essentially separate the two so that they can do both. I think it's setting schools, coaches, players up for failure. And like you said, limiting the resources that are available.
Yeah, I just, before we move on real quick, because we do have more things to discuss and we're running a little bit long on this topic, but it's very interesting. I think it opens the door, like you said, for a lot more sleazy things, because we know sleazy things already happen in college sports, but we know a lot of that can potentially come from boosters, and you've heard tons and tons of stories of boosters shaking hands with players after the game with wads of cash in their hands. So to me, this opens the question of, okay, you have a specific company, and then what if a high-up exec or a VP in that company decides that they want to help a specific player out, and then, you know, after every game, they're giving them $2,000 or $3,000. They're handing them a ton of money after a game, but they're also a company that's investing in the football program. That just opens up the door for scandals because, okay, this company's giving the university a ton of money, but a high-up exec in their company is handing a quarterback of a team $5,000 after every game. That just, it gets way too convoluted, and it looks like that could potentially get ugly because you have people that have different opinions. Some people may want to invest in the university and others may want to invest in the players and market the players. So there's no telling what ends up coming out of that.
It seems like to me, Brooks, that what the NCAA is trying to do is not limit the Bob's Trailer Tractor Company or whatever that imaginary company that you put out there. They're trying to limit shoe companies from being directly involved in the recruitment of players to certain schools, involved in those kinds of things. They're trying to limit that shady kind of behavior. So I guess that leads me to the question of, and this might be something that you guys have already kind of worked through. I'm a little bit slower than the both of y'all when it comes to stuff like this, but let's just take it University of Memphis level real quick. University of Memphis is a Nike sponsored school. There are Nike players in preps, AAU circuits, things like that, that are absolutely kind of pushed and prodded towards certain schools because of the affiliation with the college and the shoe company. My question to you is, if they are trying to, with the name, image, likeness legislation, the goal is to help give players an opportunity to make some money while they are, while their name, image, and likeness is being used to make millions of dollars for the NCAA while they're in school, would that cause a shoe company like Nike or Adidas or whoever it may be decide to, like, we have to make a choice now? Are we going to sponsor the school or are we going to sponsor the player? Keep our hands on the, our claws into the player, or keep our sponsorship of the school? Because it seems like to me you can't do both. And so they're going to have to make a choice, right?
Not necessarily. Because
they're not necessarily a direct investor of a specific university.
Well, if they're offering gear, I think it's more, if they're offering gear and they're sponsoring them in that sense and having their logos everywhere, their all this kind of stuff, that would be a sponsorship, right? We're not just talking, sponsorship isn't just handing of checks over to an organization. It's sponsoring them by giving them gear, being the retail outlet for all of their official, you know, sweatshirts and sweaters and things like that. Am I wrong? Or
yeah, I mean, I think with every single NCAA legislation, it's always up for interpretation. You know, even the new legislation related to additional on-court coaching spots that could be applied for with a waiver, different compliance departments have different views on what the NCAA deems to be a need for that position. So it's like, how do you interpret it? What does Kentucky say about it versus Memphis versus Florida versus UNC versus Duke versus Villanova? That's why I think there's kind of a push to standardize some of the views on this legislation. I do think that you'll see that shoe companies will be limited in terms of what they do with players while they're on campus. But that doesn't mean that they can't still get their claws in there. I mean, if anything we've learned over the last 3 years is that shoe companies, they're going to get theirs regardless. And, you know, just because Nike can't sponsor a kid doesn't mean they can't provide money to a kid for name, image, likeness through one of their ancillary non-related businesses. Nike owns a ton of companies and that are not direct supporters of specific universities like Duke or Memphis. So it's going to be very interesting. All I know is that the sky is the limit for college coaches to in terms of evening the playing field with the G League teams, but it also becomes very, very complicated.
Yeah, absolutely. That's going to be an interesting situation to watch shake out. But speaking of the NCAA, Memphis got some very good news from the NCAA over the weekend. This is something that we spent a ton of time talking about on previous episodes, and Virginia Tech transfer Landers Nolley has been deemed eligible by the NCAA. One of the best transfers on the market. Memphis now has him available. Were you guys surprised at all by this? I know we've seen a lot of guys deemed eligible by the NCAA, but everyone had a feeling in the back of their mind that because it was Memphis, Landers wouldn't be eligible, but here we are, and he is.
I mean, we've talked about it ad nauseum. Like, Landers and DeAndre Williams both have spectacular cases, but like you said, I mean, the battered media syndrome for covering the University of Memphis is that this thing was not going to happen just because it's Memphis, just because of the pending allegations with James Wiseman and Penny Hardaway and the way that that fiasco was handled by the university. It just felt like there's no way. But one down, one to go, and it just feels like there's a ton of momentum there for Memphis. DeAndre Williams' case, I know some people have asked about it.
It's better than Landers.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. There apparently statements were made somewhere that things have changed. The Memphis staff doesn't feel as good as they once did. And this is a VIP level nugget, but I'm going to go ahead and drop it. There's nothing that has changed. Absolutely nothing about that statement is true. Memphis still feels really good about DeAndre Williams. The biggest thing that helped with Landers Nollie is the Virginia staff, Virginia Tech staff, helped with his waiver. Memphis helped with Tyler Harris's waiver for Iowa State. Now the issue becomes, is Evansville fully on board? That's the issue. And, you know, his case is very good. If they have an administration and a basketball program in Evansville that's willing to come to the table and vouch for this waiver, I don't see any way that it does not happen.
Yeah, I completely agree. And this is something we've kind of avoided, the lineup conversation as far as the transfers go. And I know we don't want to get too deep into that right now. Basketball season's still a few months away, potentially not starting in January, so we have no idea. So I don't necessarily want to get too deep into lineup combos or anything like that. But we've really neglected talking about what Memphis's lineups could look like with Landers and or DeAndre in them, just for the simple fact that we didn't know what was going to happen. So we didn't want to speak kind of out of context or make some predictions or look at things and then it completely not come to fruition. But now when you take a look at this roster and what Penny Hardaway and the staff have, what they're bringing back, what they get in Landers, what they get in Musa, what they get in a guy like Ahmad Rand and Isaiah Stokes, it's starting to become a very big reality that this Memphis team is better than last year's. We've said it multiple times, and it just, the momentum continues to build for what this season can look like and for what this lineup, these potential lineups can look like. And I think at this point, you have limitless lineup combinations. You have a ton of athleticism, guys that can play all over the floor, and Landers kind of changes the dynamic of the team because he's basically another 6'7" guy that can play multiple positions, and it's hard to find those type of guys, but Memphis has multiple of them. So we always talk about how Penny Hardaway and the staff love playing with lineup combinations, and I think they have even more that they can mess around with this year and put guys in different places and have big power lineups and small ball lineups and big guards. They have so much size, so much athleticism. It's going to be a lot of fun to see what they do when the season actually starts.
Yeah, it was hilarious to pay attention to the boards after Landers, his approval came through, or his ability to play came through, because we started walking through lineups on the boards, and it's staggering to see what adding one player like Landers Nollie to the team, to the active roster this year, is going to do for the lineups that Penny has the opportunity to put out there on the floor. You're talking big man lineups. You're talking, you know, fast, tall, rangy, you know, lengthy lineups. You're talking, I mean, everything is out there for him. And so having Landers on the floor is going to just be a major win, I think, all around for the team, because of just what it does. It opens up everything for them. You know, it just opens everything up. So it's a good day. It's a good week for the Tiger basketball program getting that news.
Well, I mean, like you say, Christian, this team on paper, even without DeAndre Williams, is better than last year's. Every guy, I mean, and this is from talking to multiple people that have been directly involved with offseason workouts and with team practices, every guy who came back with a laser focus, came back better than they were last year. You know, a lot of people don't know this. We've talked about it multiple times on the VIP boards, but, you know, Boogie Ellis spent the entire offseason, you know, while he was quarantined out back home, back in Cali, working with former number 3 overall pick in the NBA draft, multiple year all-star in Baron Davis, one of the, you know, like I can't think of a dude who's better to work with Boogie. You know, like if in my head I'm like, former player who has that West Coast swag, that's a, you know, really good point guard, but can also get buckets. I just love that Boogie spent the time to work with him in the offseason. Kenny, you look like you're just like revving to go with a comment.
No, I mean, I love it, man. Baron Davis is one of my favorite players of all time. I love.
Dude, he was like part of the reason why I loved the NBA back in the day.
Right. Like, he's just one of the most epic plays that I remember from Baron Davis was when Golden State was the 8th seed, and I think, was it Utah? Was the one seed.
He dunked on
Andre Kirilenko in the paint. And then, I mean, we're talking about a guy who just, I mean, it was devastating, his injury that ended his career, but who, when he was on the floor, was just the dynamic, dynamic player. And so you see everything that Boogie has put in since quarantine, since he was back in California. You know, he's obviously put in the work. He's gotten bigger. He is a much more developed young man now than he was last year. And there's something about working, what we know about NBA players compared to a lot of college players is mentality, right? Like, the difference is in the mentality, being able to have that switch flipped at any moment where you know, I'm going to take over this game at any given time. We saw it last night in the NBA playoffs with Jamal Murray and Donovan Mitchell. I mean, Jamal Murray was unguardable last night. And that's one of the main differences between a good college player and an NBA level player, is somebody who can just at any given time take over the game and is literally unguardable. And I can't think of anybody better for Boogie to have spent time with, to not only just get better at the skill sets and the game, but also to have some of that mentality downloaded into him, than Baron Davis. Baron Davis is a dog.
Decades a dog. Of college.
And if Boogie can come back and start to see some success on the floor, we already know. I mean, we saw him, you know, in the when he was in high school at the Jordan Brand game in Las Vegas. Christian and I saw him, and there was a level of confidence about him that was unmistakable. It just set him apart on the floor. And he was going up against what's the young kid that went to UNC, the point guard?
Cole Anthony,
yeah. And, I mean, he was just – there was no real discrepancy in their skill set out there, because Boogie was just, he was in his element. He was going, going, going. There were times where you could tell that Boogie was pushing last year, that he was just, it was just a grind for him. And being able to spend time with a guy like Baron Davis is going to, if he can get an eighth of that mentality for this season, man, we're going to see so much growth in his game.
Yeah. So, like, just across the board, every dude better. Then you add so many pieces that, like, Musa Cisse he's as good as advertised. He has made a massive impact in practice from day one. Ahmad Rand, so reports from what I'm hearing, Ahmad Rand has absolutely no idea how to play basketball. Like, he's not the most high IQ guy, but an absolute freak of nature who will find his way on the floor just because of the things that you can't teach. And, so to me, he reminds me of like a 6'8", 6'9", version of DJ Stephens. DJ Stephens had no idea how to play basketball. Freak of nature athletically. So you find ways to take advantage of that. You put him in situations where he can succeed. And I do think that he'll still play. So, man, it's just top to bottom. This roster is really, really good. Last year, we talked about obvious holes. They had guys that could not create their own shot. They had lack of depth in the post. They had to play guys out of position constantly. And one of those guys was DJ Jeffries, constantly out of position, Precious Achiuwa playing the five. And I'll be honest, man, like, even looking at this roster, I still like DJ Jeffries playing some small ball at the four. Like, I like him at the four. I think he's good there. Like, he stretches the D. He shoots the ball really well. He's good going to the rim. He creates shots. He's a good defender because of his length. Like, I like that. But I do know that DJ wants to switch to the four. There's so much we could get into. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to stop.
I get the feeling that when we see Ahmad Rand on the court, y'all remember playing Sonic the Hedgehog, right? Like how chaotic it was. And I feel like we're going to get a version of that chaotic Sonic the Hedgehog type energy where you're going to look up and you're going to be like, okay, what just happened? And Ahmad's going to have 3 blocks, 5 rebounds, 8 points on a putbacks. You know, he's going to be getting a couple of charges in the paint. Imagine having the freakish defensive jumping ability, having Musa Cisse and Ahmad Rand at the 4 and 5 at some point in a game when you need to stop at the rim. Nobody.
Let me go ahead and squash. You won't see that this year.
Oh.
Period.
Well, okay.
I'm just telling you for listening out
just
there.
You just ruined my flow because I was going with you, it. I could picture
you will
it.
Not see. You know, let me just, and here's why. Musa Cisse is not the type of guy in the post that can create his own shot. You know, you've got two guys at that point that really bring nothing offensively to the table outside of, you know, screen and roll, you lob it up, putbacks are in transition. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of what you want from your bigs nowadays anyway, but you're going to see Ahmad Rand at the 5 with Lance Thomas at the 4 where Lance can stretch the floor. You give a chance to, you know, drive and dish at the rim to Ahmad. That's what you'll see from him. You won't see him with Musa Cisse very much, if at all. Ever.
I wish y'all could see Kenny's face right now. He's definitely pissed off. Brooks just.
I can still dream.
Brooks,
okay.
Brooks just
I can dream
on everything he said. But
you shattered my dream over here, Brooks. Thank you for that,
Brooks. Like you said, welcome. We really could go on this forever. So I just have one last thing before we can wrap this up, and we will go a lot more in depth on this as the year kind of progresses, and we know when basketball season will start, because we could probably do a whole 45-minute episode just breaking down the roster. But one thing that we've said consistently, dating back to March, April, before Memphis really got any guys like Musa Cisse and Landers Nolly and DeAndre Williams, we were consistently saying they needed a bucket getter opposite of DJ Jeffries. You know what he can do. We know he can go get a bucket. But that's something that we said they needed badly. And now you have a guy in Landers Nolly who was one of the best players in the best conference in college basketball last season in the ACC. We mentioned Boogie Ellis working with Baron Davis and the rave reviews that he's drawn so far in practice. Another guy that could potentially go get a bucket. We know Lester can hit shots and brings a dog mentality. They have multiple guys now that can go get a bucket at any time, which is extremely dangerous on a college basketball team, because typically, not with every team obviously, but typically there's one guy on a college basketball team that you know when he gets the ball in a certain situation, he's going to shoot it and more than likely make it. When you have a multitude of those guys, when you have 3 or 4 of those guys, you become extremely difficult to guard for any defense, regardless of if you're playing, you know, in conference games or if they do get to play out of conference games against some of the top 10 teams in the country. It's almost impossible to guard a college basketball team with 3 to 4 guys that can go get a bucket at any moment.
Yeah, and then you have a guy that can jump 42 inches and go up and touch the top of the backboard and get a lob at the rim. You know, so it tons to be optimistic about. It feels like 2020 has taken out everyone and everything. The one thing that I think the University of Memphis staff, the basketball staff, is hoping that COVID takes out is Memphis's turnover problem. So COVID, if you're out there looking for your next victim, go for the turnovers. So guys, I've got nothing else. Y'all got anything? Christian, you good?
I'm good.
Kenny?
That was funny. No, I'm good, though.
All right. That's a wrap.
Thank you for listening to Tigers in 20. If you enjoyed this episode, we would love for you to leave a comment and a rating wherever you download your podcasts. If you are interested in daily content all about the University of Memphis athletic program, please hop over to www.gotigers247.com. Articles are uploaded daily, and you can join the Go Tigers 247 family by signing up for the VIP membership for even more behind-the-scenes information.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.